Can we go on with the disclosure initiative?
Proposing to amend IAS 1 and IFRS Practice Statement 2 to require entities to disclose their material accounting policies instead of their significant accounting policies. The board is also proposing to provide additional guidance and examples to help entities apply the concept of materiality in making decisions about accounting policy disclosures. These proposed amendments are intended to help entities identify and disclose all accounting policies that provide material information to primary users of financial statements and identify immaterial accounting policies and eliminate them from their financial statements. Comment letter period for this exposure draft ends on the 29th of November. So with that, we would like to ask what your preliminary views on the exposure draft are, and if you have any feedback from others in your jurisdiction on the exposure draft.
Everybody happy? Oh, no. Paul?
I mean, we are generally happy. Our corporate reporting council is going to discuss our proposed response next week, so my comments are not informed by their advice. I think from a sort of on the face of it, it does seem a little bit odd that we're changing something from the word significant to material, but I think sort of positioning that much more around the fact that it links much better to the more comprehensive guidance of the materiality practice statement, I think, is helpful. Otherwise, I can see there's a danger of people saying, what the hell are they spending all this time doing that? We clearly support any initiatives to get rid of immaterial items in the financial statements, although one might argue that with the increasing use of technology, does that matter quite so much, because you can search through the things you're particularly interested in. We have a slight concern around 117BE, the one around specific circumstances, and not because we don't think that's an important issue, but all accounting policies should be to the entity's specific circumstances, and therefore it sort of could be read as saying you've got free rein elsewhere because you just write in what the standard actually says. I wondered, and maybe it's actually covered in D, but there are some accounting policies where I think users are always interested, and that might be revenue recognition, it might be something to do where costs are deferred in some form or capitalised in some form. Probably it gets captured by D because of the judgment involved, but I think one needs to just think about that in the context of the list of criteria.
Noble?
Yes, thank you. I have one question and three comments. My first is a question. We'd like to understand the relationship between this exposure draft and the exposure draft that discussed the distinction between accounting policies and accounting estimates. We think the concept of accounting policies should be clarified and then maybe combine the two exposure drafts together to a final standard so that you have a clear idea of what accounting policies mean in your literature. But first, I want to know the relationship between the two documents.
At the moment, we're dealing with them as two separate projects rather than looking at them together. Obviously, the teams will talk to each other and making sure that we're not doing anything that's inconsistent between the two, but we are, at the moment, dealing with them as two separate projects.
So, well, our likely comment will be that we don't want two changes in a very short period of time, and therefore we will likely to be encourage you to work together if you are to make any changes in the other project. Three comments. First, for the list in paragraph 117B, while we agree that the information or the examples provide useful information to users, we are not convinced that those information should be classified as significant accounting policies or material accounting policies. For example, item A, we think that is part of the disclosures related to the changes in accounting policies rather than significant accounting policies themselves. We share a Paul's concern about E. We didn't really understand what the entity specific meant, given that everything should be entity specific. Just for your information, the gap in our jurisdiction basically says items B and C are the significant accounting policies, so we converge if you limit it to those two. That's my first comment. Second comment is the replacing the term significant with material. We do not think that would dramatically improve practice, so we're not sure what benefit that would be. And we also think that there are other places in IFRS standards where you use these two terms, and we weren't sure whether this was the only place you want to make them consistent or you want to change the term, or do you want to look at the whole IFRS standards and look at how those the material and significant are used and make sure that they are used in the same way that you think should be used. There seems to be some inconsistency, and therefore just making the change for this standard or paragraph didn't make much sense to us. The third is about paragraph 117C. We don't disagree with what is proposed, but the difficulty is how to provide that information, and in that sense, we do not think the proposal goes far enough to actually improve practice.
Let's move the Kim brothers to give priority.
Well, we generally support the proposal. If we look at the current practice of disclosure, particularly in our jurisdiction, the practice is pretty disappointing in the sense that preparers do not know what they are doing, and users do not know why preparers are doing this. And proposed changes will obviously reduce the volume of the disclosure and will really enhance the visibility of really critical information. However, we have couple of concerns, which is very similar to what Nobu said. The first concern is the scope of disclosure is not really clear, meaning that the title of the disclosure is accounting policy. However, the standard, IS-1, is not really clear whether the disclosure will be limited simply to policy in narrow sense, or it will include accounting estimation, and on top of that, like fact patterns and some decisions made by the company. Actually, is one of the examples, I would say example S was talking about accounting policies. However, it is focusing on some fact patterns of the company in terms of income recognition, and it's the decision of the company how to apply the accounting standard to their fact pattern. So the second concern is that a definition of accounting policy is not really clear. As Noob said, we are the concept of definition of accounting policy is still open to discussion because IS-8 draft is not really finalized yet. Number three is that paragraph 117B appears not very helpful in determining the materiality, because if you look at item B and C of 117B, I would say it's just a reiteration of what is occurring policy. It doesn't really give any other message. And if you look at D and E, it's again reiteration of what is accounting estimate and what you have to disclose as part of accounting estimate. So there are a couple of concerns in this new draft.
Jay Ho.
We got feedback from three AUSIS members. Hong Kong, New Zealand, and Saudi Arabia are those. Two members supported the alternative view mentioned in the exposure draft in the sense that users' financial statements are not expected to be IFRS expert or accounting experts. Therefore, information that could help users understand and analyze other material information in the financial statement is likely to be material itself, as it has the potential to influence decisions primary users make. And one member considers that the proposed paragraph 117BA is not consistent with the principle of materiality. That example in that paragraph refers to material change to amount, which implies only quantitative factors are considered. Whether an accounting policy is material requires consideration of qualitative factors as well. And also, one member finds that there are two similar but not identical phrases in the exposure draft. While paragraph 117 of the ED states that information about an accounting policy is material, paragraph 117B starts by saying that an accounting policy is material. It is quite confusing whether the materiality of information about an accounting policy means the same as the materiality of an accounting policy itself or not. And lastly, one member took issue with the terminology. The words material and significant, when translated, are interchangeable in many languages. Therefore, this member believes that shifting the focus from materiality or significance of the policy itself to the materiality of information about the policy would accomplish the both objectives and would be communicated properly in different languages. Thank you.
Alberto.
I'll be brief. We are in agreement with this exposure draft. We don't have any major concern or critique. As far as the change from significant to material has already been mentioned, at least in Italy, we would translate those two words with one single Italian word, so not big change. But using material, we think that ties in very well with the practice state of materiality, so the definition is much more clear. In general, we will be happy with this document.
So we've consulted with our IFRS discussion group, which consists of some users and preparers and as well some regulators. And so this is preliminary because we will be also consulting with our user advisory council in the next month. But generally, so what we've been hearing so far is broad support for the direction of the proposals and what they're trying to achieve. A few concerns or comments that were raised so far, one of which is that although an amount on the financial statements might not be material, disclosure about the accounting policy still could be to some users, particularly around, for instance, more complex type transactions that a user might appreciate having an understanding of the policy around that, even though the amount might not be material. As well, there was some concern around or some confusion around 117 and 117B, and they think that the language in 117B actually more clearly articulates the intent of the proposals. And specifically with respect to 117BE, I think along the lines of what Japan was saying, one of the members actually thought that perhaps an example to try to illustrate what that's trying to get at would be helpful in understanding what E is trying to achieve.
Patricia.
Well, thank you very much. We're still developing our preliminary position, so I think we'll end up broadly supporting the direction of travel. But we're not sure that it'll have any effect on behaviours, because unless you actually try to prohibit immaterial. The other thing that we don't know is what impact this will have, because at a random survey, about 50% of the people we talk to think material is less stringent than significant, and about 50% of the people we talk to think material is more stringent than significant. So you might be tidying it up, but we have no idea of the effect based on what we're hearing. We've also heard concerns about the famous subparagraph E, and we are thinking it would combine neatly with subparagraph D, so if you could bring the two together, you would get something that put that in context. I know you might want to run this as separate projects, but I think a lot of us are getting very confused about all these little sub-projects dealing with IS1 and IS8, and it would be really helpful at some stage if you could bring these together for the outside world, even if you want to keep them separate internally, because how you manage them internally is your issue. We had the same concern about example S, as has already been stated, and not just Italy, but there are other European countries where significant and material translate to exactly the same word. So we don't see that in those countries the change of terminology, although it's tidier in English, would change the translated version. So it's not just an Italian problem, but there are a number of other European jurisdictions that would have the same translation issue.
Even though it will link to the materiality practice statement, so even if the word's the same, we'll be more clearly signposting that this is what you need to think about to apply your judgment.
Yep, and on that, we notice a degree of duplication between the practice statement, the proposed changes to the practice statement and the standard. Is your thinking that people might go directly to the practice statement so you need to repeat it, or is your thinking that the practice statement will be read in conjunction with the standard, in which case you might be able to remove some of the duplication? It's your issue, but we did notice the duplication.
Alberto, what is that Italian word?
Significativo.
So what do you call the materiality practice statement?
Maybe we will introduce a new word, materiality. Materialità. Yeah. I don't like it.
This was a trick question.
I don't like it, but it may be possible.
Yeah.
Although materiality has already a meaning, is a contrary of spirituality. Which is,
yes. Okay, Ross.
So I agree with Alberto and Patricia that you should move forward, but I can't judge the degree of change that will result from moving forward. In the U.S., materiality has a legal definition behind it, where significant does not. But even though it's two different words in the U.S., sometimes it's interpreted the same, sometimes it's not. To make it even better, significant is throughout U.S. GAAP and is interpreted differently depending on which codification topic you're in. So I would encourage you to do this. I think it will improve long-term disclosures and a consistency of only apply disclosures to material-type transactions. So I'd encourage you to do that, recognizing that at least at inception, there probably won't be a lot of change.
Raymond?
Thank you. I think we're in agreement with the direction of the project. We haven't, we start in the process now, so some of our members are starting the process now of implementing some sort of discussion forums that will have a look at this. But I think just the preliminary views that we've got at the moment is we have some concerns about the practical application of this. Given that there's already a tension between auditors and preparers in a lot of instances when it comes to the application of the definition of what is significant or what is material, we've got the one paragraph here, 117D, which says that if you conclude that an accounting policy is not material, it may end up in the financial statements regardless. So, you know, I think that may potentially lead to more of that tension between auditors and preparers, I think, which we need to be cognizant of. There's also another concern that we have in the examples that are used. Example T specifically because there's, while we're eliminating a lot of the words in the disclosures, we're also introducing references to the actual standards themselves. So there's a presumption there that the user of the financial statements has some knowledge of IFRS or has an ability to access the IFRS standards to be able to see what they actually say. And I think we have been trying to, for the last little while, trying to focus people more away from bringing in information, bringing in words that are in the standard. So by now bringing in references to the standard, I think we may be heading back there again. And we just need to be aware of that. So I think from that point of view, we have some sympathy with the dissenting view that Martin expressed in the standard, and that I think there's some information that we're taking out that may potentially lead the users down a path where they may not necessarily be able to understand what the financial statements actually mean or what the accounting policies actually mean.
Yu Chen.
Thank you, Chairman. Actually, we conducted a small-scale consultation with some stakeholders in September. We will be consulting more stakeholders in the coming months. Here, I would like to share some of our preliminary views based on the comments we received on question one, similar to others' view that we generally agree with the direction because the material was clearly defined in the practice statement number two, so it would be better than the significant. For question two, regarding paragraph 117A of IS-1, most of the comments agreed with that because we think that identifying material accounting policy will help companies to reduce the immaterial information in a reasonable manner so as to provide more useful information to users. But at the same time, some comments raised some concerns because they would like to, they suggest to identify or to make clear who need the accounting policy information to under the financial statement. Because for most users, they are familiar with accounting. They are familiar with IFRS standards, so they only want to know the accounting policy, which is not stated in the accounting standards, as illustrated in paragraph 117B. But maybe for other users, they are not familiar with IFRS standards, even not familiar with accounting. So it's hard for them to understand the financial statement. So that's mixed views. On question three, regarding paragraph 117B, generally, we think the five examples will be of some help, but the stakeholders also showed some comments. The first one, they suggest if a transaction is new in the fiscal year, the accounting policy associated with it may be material for the users. The second suggestion is that they are thinking the accounting policy relating to the industry in which the entity is located is very helpful, is very material. The third point is that regarding to paragraph 121, they suggest to keep the first sentence of this paragraph. The fourth point is that they showed some that they was a little confused about some of the examples in 117B. For example, they think the last two examples looks a little duplicated with each other. That's their comments on question three. For question four, generally we think the two examples in practice statement two is helpful, and the stakeholder hope to have more examples to they hope to have more examples to provide more guidance for them. For question five, the wording and terminology introduced in the paper, similar with others, that's a little difficult for us to translate it into Chinese, because we have a different words in the IFRS, significant, material, sometimes more generally important or importance. And at least we have three different words in English. But in China, in Chinese, we can only find two words. How to distinguish the differences between them? So some suggestions from the stakeholder, they think maybe we should provide provide a clear definition and a detailed guidance. Maybe that would be more helpful. And the last question, although we welcome the direction of the project, but we think it's a very narrow scope amendment. We suggest maintaining the stability of the IFRS, and because the frequent small change was not welcomed by the preparers or users. So if it's not so urgent, can we bring them together with other projects, such as the because we are the ISB is working on the amendment to IS1, IS8, can we bring this project together? Okay, that's it.
Okay. Staff want to say anything about what the main takeaway is here?
Okay. Well, I guess our main takeaway from this is that we need to work on 117B and the examples, and also look at potentially just clarifying exactly what we wanted to achieve with the examples in the materiality practice statement and the additional guidance. Yes, thank you very much for your feedback, and we look forward to getting all of your comment letters.
Okay, thank you very much. So we're going to look at the agenda for next time, or should we first start with KASB?
I invited all the board advisors for the agenda.
Oh, okay.
That's for you.